Erev Tov. First of all, thank you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not a given that to be a part of a kehillah where people want to grow, and it's a pretty amazing thing for us to be here. We feel that it's an exceptional kehillah. People very much want to grow and want to keep halacha and in the realm of every mitzvah, and not less so in the realm of bin adam l'chaviro. And I think it's an exceptional thing, and I think it's a big zchut. My wife and I feel very privileged to be a part of this kina. I want to thank the Hornsteins for hosting all of us. The Hornsteins are working very hard for many years now to help the shul keep growing. And both of them, it's a joint effort, a big yeshiva. Mrs. Ben David, who really was behind setting all of this up, it's a big deal. She did all the work, a lot of the work. And finally, my wife couldn't make it, but the mere fact that we're in Kochav Yaakov is her doing, not mine. She pushed for it, and a lot of what I'm going to say tonight I learned from her, and not only over the years, but also preparing for the class tonight. So I discussed, and a lot of the things are her input over here. So we're going to begin. We said we're going to focus on chinuch for children up to first grade. Chinuch changes with age. So we're focusing on younger children, and at this age there isn't much of a difference between boys and girls. So we're going to start there. The fact that people showed up means that they care. So that's a big issue. It's not easy to leave the house at this hour. Chinuch, you can't really teach. I mean, what we're doing here tonight is not giving a formula which, just go with this, everything will work out right. No such thing. In reality, there are systems, there are tools, there are attitudes, there are realizations of children's needs, and at the end of the day, parents are constantly deciding which tool they'll use when, and what does my kid need now? It's not like you could just take a class and that's it. You have your driver's license, you know how to drive. No, the kids will always surprise you, and you're always going to have room to second guess yourself and ask, did I do that right? And you're always going to be able to look at the neighbor and say, they seem to be doing it more right than me. And it's very challenging. It's not right to look at it that way, but there's no passing grade. You know, in 20, 30, 40 years, you look at your kids and you say, okay, I did a good job. But as you're going along the path, you need a lot of patience because you don't really know. And we're going to discuss different tools. One of the major tools which young parents need is the understanding of what's normal for a child. What's a child really saying when they say no? No from a two-year-old is not chutzpah. No from a three-year-old is also not chutzpah. And no from a four-year-old is also not chutzpah. When you hit five and six, then it might start being chutzpah. But at two, three, and four, they're still figuring out what's going on. What are they supposed to do? They don't know yet how to say, I don't want. And they don't feel like they can do anything but say no. So there are many things that children will do that we need to have a perspective, age perspective, and that's very key in chinuch. Like we all know the pasuk, chanuch l'nar al pi darko, you have to give chinuch based on the child's needs. We're going to discuss that that's not a sole formula. You also have to work with your needs, and your husband's needs, and the house's needs, and financial needs. There are many needs you have to factor in, but when it comes to the first step of doing chinuch is understanding what's normal for a kid. Children will normally enter a stage of stealing at about second grade. That's normal for a kid. So when you catch your kid stealing at second grade and you start thinking, oh no, I have a real chinuch issue here, you have to deal with it, but you also have to know it's normal. It's normal that a child will walk in and at 4 years old, their face is plastered with chocolate cake, and you ask them, did you eat the chocolate cake? And they go, no. And that's normal. That's normal for the kid. There's an age where you ask a child and they're not plastered with chocolate cake, and you could say, I'm going to look into your stomach and see. And the child does this, and that's also normal. So the first tool we really need is to understand what's age-appropriate chinuch. And that changes with time. If you think you're going to convince your 1.5-year-old that they can't touch fire, I'm not sure you can do that. I'm not sure you'll ever convince a 2-year-old that they shouldn't touch their little sibling's eyes, because that's interesting, and it's a new baby in the house. So then the question becomes, what do you do with it? But we have to realize that there are many things that are not chinuchishes. There are many things that are just normal children behavior, and that's fine. For a little sibling to hit their sibling is normal. They're not doing anything wrong. We might have to do something about it. Might have a role in this whole story as parents, and sometimes not. Sometimes we should not see what's going on. But the first thing we have to learn is, what's the normal for the children? Because we don't have to fight normal. We sometimes have to channel it. We sometimes have to get good habits. We sometimes have to help the children outgrow it. And we sometimes have to just wait for it to pass. So I think our first rule in chinuch is to define what is chinuch. And I think one definition we could use is, chinuch is what I want for the long term. Chinuch is long term. There are things I do short term. When we need to change a child's diaper and the child's wiggling around, we have a hardship that's here and now and real, and we have to deal with it. It's not a chinuch issue. It's a practical question. What am I doing now? So we have to deal with the practical as well. But that's not chinuch. There are a lot of short-term dealings. When your child throws their plate off the tray and they make a mess, you don't have a chinuch issue. They're not going to do that when they're 20. So it's not a chinuch issue. It's a practical issue. I need to get supper done. So I find that one of the greatest hardships that mothers have in our generation is the realization that you have a right to live. You have rights too. Mothers have rights too. And it's something which, I don't know if it was always so. I don't think it was always so. But our generation, mothers think that they don't have rights. And if I would end the class now and say that your child throwing off the plate, off the tray, is not a chinuch issue, I'm scared that many mothers would stop doing anything when the child knocks the plate off the tray, because it's not a chinuch issue, so why should I do anything about it? That's not true. We all have to live in this house. I have needs. My other children have needs. The wife has needs. So when we discern and we say that certain things aren't chinuch issues, that doesn't mean they don't have to be dealt with. But we have to realize they're not chinuch. My goal is not long term here. My goal is sometimes survival. And that sometimes means that the tools I use are not the same as the chinuch tools I'll use. Sometimes my goal is to accomplish the end, and then my means are less important. For example, if many of the stories I'm going to tell are from our own kids. Baruch Hashem, they keep us up at night, and they keep us up at day, and they're active the way kids should be. But it doesn't really matter, because these stories happen in many homes. I'm just mentioning that because people sometimes live with this ongoing frustration that, oh, by holy people's houses, this doesn't happen. I'm sure by the rabbi's house, the kids are all behaving well. So you should know a story that you've heard probably of Rav Arya Levine, who's a very holy person in Yerushalayim. He was known as the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. And his grandson once came in from the United States, and he spent the Shabbos with him. And his grandson gives a tour, Benny Levine, he gives a tour of Yerushalayim. And he tells how he came to his grandfather, and his grandfather had grandchildren over. He went to his daughter or son for the meal, and he was expecting the great Torah and holiness and the whole meal. The kids were throwing things at one another, spilling things. The meal was the meal. I don't know what your houses look like, but normal houses, there's a balagan at the Shabbos table. There's a good atmosphere, but there's also a lot of balagan. And by the end of the meal, they had hardly said one Dvar Torah. And then he went back with his grandfather to the house, and he said, he didn't know what to say, but the look on his face said everything. His grandfather said, that's called normal. That's what a Shabbos table is supposed to look like. So we have to have expectations. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sent his son to get a bracha, and the Rabbanim who gave him a bracha said to him, Leval bel piturach, may your table be a mess. So he came back to his father and he said, what kind of bracha did they just give me? So he said, they blessed you, you should have children. That's called them. That's the blessing of children. Your table will be a mess. Yes, the children make a mess. That was their way of telling you, when you have the mess in your house, see it as a blessing. So we have to remember that there's nothing wrong with the children making a mess. And that doesn't mean that we don't have rights. Now we have to make it work.